The scripture verses I'll be reading this morning are on the handout that you've been given, so you can follow along with me. Revelation chapter 22, verse 4. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Romans 1, verses 11 to 12. For I want very much to see you, so I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, to be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, from the Message. Your very lives are a letter that anyone can read by just looking at you. Christ himself wrote it, not with ink, but with God's living spirit. Not chiseled into stone, but carved into human lives, and we publish it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. We all, with unveiled faces, are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord who is the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. For now we see indistinctly as in a mirror, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, as I am fully known. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Dear friends, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet been revealed. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him as he is. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
So last week we were into Revelation chapter 22, and I said on that last week that 22:4, we were going to just do a flyby on it last week, but 22:4 needs some explanation. That verse has always captivated me. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Now the verse right before that says that his servants will serve him. And right after this statement, John says that they will be kings of the earth and they will reign forever and ever. So why would John put that in right between there about seeing his face? He puts it between serving him and he puts it between that we will reign forever and ever as kings of the earth. So serving him and reigning as kings of the earth seem to be tied to and dependent on seeing his face. So that's just not a throwaway phrase that John threw in there. Something is imparted. Something is imparted to us when we see his face, that equips us and makes us competent to serve him and to reign as kings of the earth. So I wanted to ferret this out. I wanted to find out what is this about seeing faces that is significant for God's people. And one of the verses that, again, has jumped out at me is Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, Paul. So we're going to look at what today, what John says and what Paul says about this seeing, this seeing faces. Here's Paul writing to the church at Rome. For I want very much to see you. Why, Paul? So I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, That is, to be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Now, Paul hears about them, these Christians in Rome. Paul prays for them. Paul writes letters to them. And yet something is missing. Something else is needed to impart something into them. When something is imparted to you, it is put into you. So he sees, he hears about him, he prays for him, he writes letters to him. Not good enough. He says, I need to see you. I want to see you. Because when I see you and you see me, there's going to be some sort of a transaction. And the transaction is going to be strengthening and encouraging each other's faith. Something happens when we see each other. Something happens. He wants to see them. He needs to see them for strength and encouragement. Now, I'm going to go out on a neurological, physiological, anatomical limb today. And this is a Timism, all of it. But I think it can be on all fours, biblically. Because what I've discovered about God is that the way God put us together, anatomically, neurologically, and physiological, is the same way, interestingly enough, that he works in creation. It's the same way that he works in the spiritual world. Now, that makes perfect sense to me. So it's going to be maybe a metaphysical explanation, because I have to know, I want to know, why this is so important. Why seeing each other is important. And let me say this, first of all, about the seeing face-to-face, and this is completely contemporary with our church in America today. You do not get the same, listen to this, you do not get the same thing watching a TV monitor. You do not, by staying home and having the service streaming, it is not the same effect. Something happens when we are in each other's presence and looking at each other, and specifically, which we will find out here, looking at one another's faces. Does that bring up any contemporary issues in the last couple of years? Yeah, I'm going to make some statements today. It's not a political rant, but I think that I do understand the enemy, and I understand how he gets into things, and I understand how he got into the Church of America. You know that the survey is that clearly up to 40% of people who left the church during the you had to stay home period during the pandemic, up to 40% of those people have never come back to church. That they stay home and they do the streaming thing. Now, I'm proud about something. I'm proud that Newville Church closed one Sunday. And I actually even regret that. Because it has hurt the church. This whole thing has hurt. And this is the explanation, I think, today of why it has hurt the church. So to understand these verses and the following verses on your sheet there, we have to learn a little. I'm going to give you a 10-minute primer on neurology, physiology, and anatomy on sight. But we have to understand before we go that it's the actual face-to-face, understand that, that imparts something. You look at my face, I look at your face, something happens. And what happens is there is an energy transfer. Energy. And this energy that is transferred affects our brains, affects how we think, how we feel, affects our moods. The energy transfer can either be good or bad. It can augment your mood, it can encourage you and strengthen you, or it can do the opposite. It can weaken you. And it can discourage you. So we have to understand this, how we see the physiology, anatomy, and neurology of sight. We see people, and objects, what we're seeing is the light reflecting off of them. You understand? All of us reflect light. All of us absorb light. And when you look at me and I look at you, or I look at that car out there, or I look at a tree, what I'm actually seeing is how that object and how that person is reflecting the light that is shining on them. And this reflection that we see is actually called photons. Now, photons are little energy packets. The sun shines on us, the sun shines on objects, the sun shines on the church, and the people, the objects, the church, take the light that's shining on them, and we all get the same array, we all get the same input of light, and we take that light and we reflect it differently. And what we're reflecting are photons. Photons are, as I said, little energy packets. And those little energy packets reflected off of objects come into our eyes through our pupils. They go through what's called a vitreous humor, which is a liquid in our eyeball, and it hits the back of our eyeball, the retina. And when those photons hit the back of our retina, they explode like bombs. Like bombs hitting the earth, the photons hit the back of our eye and they explode and they give off energy. They give off very specific energy. Now that energy is picked up by the optic nerve. The optic nerve takes that energy and it transfers it to the brain. This happens at the speed of light. Sight travels at the speed of light, because as fast as that light hits our pupils as this transaction takes place, it's amazing, fascinating, how our brains could possibly do that this quickly. It's picked up by the optic nerve, taken to the brain, and the brain is programmed to recognize specific energy patterns. This will all make sense spiritually here in a minute, and I know it will. In other words, the brain hit, the photons explode, give off their energy. My photon energy is different than your photon energy, and it goes back to the brain. And the brain has to be programmed to recognize those energy patterns. For instance, a child. You would take a youngster out, and you would point to, they will point to maybe a tree, and they would say, "What is that?" What they're saying is, what is the photon energy that's hitting my brain, Daddy? And what is it doing? And you say to the child, "That's a tree." Now the brain stores that. And the brain knows the next time that specific energy pattern hits my brain, I know it's a tree. Or they'll say, or you meet somebody, let's say you've never seen them before, never met them before, and you'll see them and you'll say, "Well, who is that?" And they will tell you, "Well, that's so-and-so." Your brain then, your brain categorizes that and stores it, and the next time that specific energy pattern from the photons that that person has reflected into your pupil, the next time that specific energy pattern hits your retina, your brain recognizes it because it's been programmed. But we all reflect light and photons differently. Else we would all look the same. Trees reflect differently. Cars reflect differently. Rocks reflect differently. Sky, the clouds reflect differently. But you are seeing reflected light. Each person, each animal, each object reflects photons in a different way, which produces their appearance. You ever wonder, I mean, there are billions of people on the planet, billions. How can every person look different? How is that possible? Because, and we're just talking about faces, because really there's not a lot of to work with, you know, on a face. There are eyes, there are eyebrows, there's cheekbones, there's ears, there's a mouth, there's nose, there's a chin. But you see, our God takes just the slightest variation in a facial contour, just the slightest variation, and it will make that person reflect light differently. Reflect light in a way and a specific energy pattern that the brain recognizes, oh, Teresa. That's Kathy, because that's their specific energy pattern. You see, we see with our brains. You hear with your brains. You smell with your brains. You taste with your brains. You touch with your brains. The sensory organs are simply, they're satellite dishes that collect the energy. And they take that energy, like when a sound wave hits the tympanic membrane in our ear, that's nothing more than a sound wave. And that sound wave hits a tympanic membrane, the eardrum, goes into the malleus, incus, and stapes, the three little bones in the middle ear, makes them vibrate at a specific frequency, and the brain recognizes that vibration energy as a particular, it associates it with a person. You recognize a person's voice, right? You recognize it because your brain has stored that particular energy pattern. And the next time that person talks to you, your brain will say immediately, instantly, I mean, you talk about fast computers, there's nothing even close to this, immediately recognizes that energy pattern as belonging to a particular person. Now, you can use this, and you know, if my preaching isn't for practicality, then it's of no use. And you can use this in your interpersonal relationships. I used it, and man, I'm going to talk to you right now. You can use this with your wives. I'm sitting across my wife at a nice restaurant, our 48th wedding anniversary. And, you know, okay, call me a romantic. But I gazed into her eyes and I said, after 48 years, I still love the way your photons explode on my retinas. And see, she fairly swooned. So you see, it has practical value. You can use that in your relationships. God has pre-programmed our brains to recognize energy as either good or bad. Good energy, bad energy. We intuitively know. God has put into us, into our brains, we intuitively know when something is wrong. We intuitively know when we see something and it's wrong. We see that light and those energy patterns come into our brains, and God has said to us, when you see that energy pattern, it's wrong. Or when you hear this, it's wrong. Now, that can be blunted. That can be muted. That can be distorted. In the garden, God pre-programmed us to good and evil. This energy pattern's good. This energy pattern is evil. And he said, don't mess with that. Don't distort that. Because this is for your own good. It's to save you. It's to protect you. You see, our noses are positioned above our mouths for a reason. Because we have pre-programmed into us that when we are about to eat something that is tainted, is poisoned, or is rancid, our noses immediately pick up that energy pattern, take it to the brain, and our brain says, whoa, don't eat that. It happens in a fraction of a second. So the pre-programming that God has put into our brains to recognize good and bad energy is to keep us healthy, to keep us on the right track. That's been distorted. That's been blunted. You can take, we all know, pre-programmed, that violence is bad. We know that. God's programmed that into our brains, and we get energy patterns. When we see something that's violent or we hear something that's violent, we don't have to decide, is that right or wrong? Our brains are pre-programmed, and they say, that's wrong. But you can change that. You can, after so much time, you can override those pre-programmed energy recognition patterns in our brains. And this is what Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1. He said, things that used to be wrong are now counted as right. Things that were obviously evil are now called good. It's because we override that protection pattern and we place our own analysis on those energy patterns. That's not that's not bad anymore. That's good. You know, school shootings, for instance. You know, when I was a kid, and I grew up in Lexington, high school, guys would drive their pickup trucks to school with a gun rack in the pickup truck with a rifle or a shotgun in plain view in the truck. Never entered our minds that one of us would go into a school and shoot our fellow students. Never entered our mind, because the very thought of that was an anathema. The very thought of that was so hardwired, programmed into our brains, we wouldn't even conceive of that. I graduated in 1972. Now, this is my own polemic, and I may be wrong. 1973, Roe v. Wade came along. Oh. Maybe the energy pattern that depicts a violent act isn't so bad after all. Well, life isn't so precious. I completely tie the Roe v. Wade in 1973 with the violence in our schools, with the violence in our society. That what Roe v. Wade said loudly and clearly, that pre-programmed energy pattern that God has in your brain, that human life is precious and that violence is bad, isn't really right. Because life isn't precious, and you can perpetrate violence against another human being. Hence, the violence that has hit our nation, the violence that has come into our schools, because we have changed those energy patterns to be right instead of being wrong. So, let's extrapolate now into what we as God's people have as our mission, as far as this seeing one another. You look at 2 Corinthians 3:2. This is from the Message, Eugene Peterson. He says, your very lives are a letter that anyone can read. How? Well, by just looking at you. Doesn't that captivate you? Does that grab you a little bit? How is that possible? Christ himself wrote it, not with ink, but with God's living spirit. Not chiseled into stone, but carved into human lives. And we publish it. So here we have Paul saying, something is imparted to one another when we see one another. And if you are a man or woman of God, like Paul said in Romans, I need to see you. I want to see you. Because just watching you live stream isn't doing it. I need to impart something to you, and you need to impart something to me. And in order for this to take place, we need to see each other face to face. Something radiates off of us. Now we understand how light works, how sight works. The reflection of light into our eyes is how we see. In the spiritual realm, something reflects off of us that others can see, just like sight. And that something is the glory of God. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. We all, that's us, with unveiled faces. Unveiled faces. I go into when this mask thing was a thing, and I would go into a grocery store, and wasn't that a little freaky? Something was really missing here. I can't see your face. Nothing's being imparted. Now, you don't think that the enemy grabbed that issue and brought it into our churches? Do you not think the enemy knows this scripture? Do you not think that the enemy knows how important it is in God's economy for God's people to actually see each other's faces? Unveiled face. Something happens when you have an unveiled face. I heard someone say, after the pandemic and after the live streaming craze, this is great. Someone came into my office and told me this. This is great. I used to have to get up in the morning and get ready. And he said, now I just keep my jammies on and I get a cup of coffee and I sit down on the couch and it's wonderful. I said, I'm never going back to church. How patently self-centered is that statement? You don't think your presence here is important, and you don't think I read your voice, your faces? And you read mine? We reflect or not the glory of God to one another. We all with unveiled faces are looking as in a mirror. What are we looking at? At the glory of God. This is an angled mirror, so you understand this. Here's how you understand. I've talked about the moon lately. Teresa and I have been out in the cabin lately. It's a beautiful full moon at night. Here's how you understand this, what's happening with us. When you look at the moon, you're actually seeing an angled mirror, aren't you? You're not, what you're actually seeing when you look at the moon, you're seeing what the moon is looking at. Can you go with me on that? You're looking at what the moon is looking at. Now, you're not looking at it directly. It's like you're looking into an angled mirror. You don't look directly at the sun. We can't do that. It's too much. You see the spiritual connection here? God says to Moses, turn your back. Can't look at my face. We see like looking at the sun through the reflection that it makes on the moon. We see in one another the glory of God. I see it in you or not. You see it in me or not. You're giving me energy. I'm giving you energy. That energy, like I said at the beginning, affects our thinking, affects our brains, affects our moods. It can be good or bad. There's a sting in the tail. You're going to reflect and radiate just like the city that comes down. John says the city came down out of heaven and it was arrayed with all of God's glory and it radiated his glory. The sting in the tail is you will radiate what you're arrayed with. To my shame, I fail here. But ever and always, I can tie it back to, what am I looking at? You see, we get the glory of God from Scripture. And that's even an angled mirror. God's here, the author. Here's Scripture. And we read Scripture. So you see, there's an angled mirror. We're getting the glory of God by indirectly through Scripture. Then you go out and you come to church after you're steeped in the glory of God and you sit here and I see your faces and what Paul says is, you're reflecting the glory of God to me. You pull the message out of me. Coming to church is not just for you. Paul says, I very much want to see you because I need to impart something to you by seeing you face to face. And then he catches himself, well, actually, I need something from you too. We will mutually be encouraged and strengthened. Why? By looking into each other's eyes and faces. You reflect your God photons differently than anybody else. When you're not here, one facet of God's glory is missing from our congregation. See, God is infinite. And we will for all eternity be reflecting the God photons to one another. And what happens when we do that? Well, what's Paul say? The glory of the Lord and are being transformed. into the same image. Again, the sting in the tail. If you reflect something bad, a bad energy, bad, you are transforming people. Not in a good way. You've all experienced that. I've been a party of that. Again, to my shame. How is it when you've been around someone who's obviously full of the glory of the Lord, full of the Spirit? How is it for you? How do you feel? Do you pick up that energy? Does it affect your thinking, your mood, your behavior? Does it transform you a little bit? Good for you, Newville. Because I pick up the glory of God from your faces. God bless you for that. Because, see, we have an angled mirror going here. You come to me, your God photons are hitting me. I'm reflecting them back to you. So the very process that Paul's talking about happens right here, right now. Now, if I get up here and you're sitting there all sullen, then your sullen photons are going to hit me, and I'm going to be up here, and let's just go home. Tracking? We reflect what we're arrayed with. And when others look at us, they're actually seeing what you're looking at. When I look at the moon, I'm actually seeing what the moon is looking at. You know, the man on the moon. Either way, good or bad. So when this mask thing hit the churches, which, by the way, political comment, sort of, hindsight, they did nothing. The mask did nothing. They're saying they did more harm. You see people driving around and have the mask under their chin, you know, and then they get in people in public, they pull the mask up. You think there's a little bit of bacterial contamination there? Off the skin into the mask. Well, I'm going to pull that mask up over my face and I'm going to breathe in that bacteria. That's really healthy. All right. So we're being transformed into the same image that is being reflected to us. Take this into your home. Take this into your marriage. To your children. How massively important is this topic? Your kids are picking up your photons. My wife picks up my photons. I pick up hers, her God photons. We're being transformed to the same image from glory to glory. This transformation is from the Lord, who is the Spirit, and this whole process is from the Lord, and we are, you know, as I said, God's glory is a nebulous, ill-defined, you can't see it thing without people. Why did God create the heavens and the earth and people? To show his glory. He needed receptacles. He needed satellite dishes out there to pick up those glory God photons and to reflect them in a specific way. You give me the image of Christ in a way nobody else can. That's your job. And you do that by staying plugged into the glory of God through Scripture. Paul, 1 Corinthians, for now we see indistinctly. as in a mirror. But then face to face. Now, I only know in part. We can only know right now in part God's glory, only in part. Because we see indistinctly. I don't get the full array of the sun by looking at the moon. I get an idea. So if I never saw the sun, and all I saw was the moon, I would only know in part what the sun should look like, wouldn't I? I would only know in part. Well, I know it's something like that. So here what Paul is saying is right now, we look at the glory of God indistinctly, like in a mirror from each other. And therefore, we only know in part the full glory of God. But then look what he says. But then, face to face, and then I will know fully, as I am fully known. And it all depends on us seeing each other's faces. Lastly, John. Dear friends, we are God's children now. 1 John 3:2. And what we will be has not yet been revealed. Why not, John? Well, because we know when he appears, we'll be like him. Why? Because we'll see him as he is. When we see him as he is, something is imparted to us, which transforms us into his image. Tracking? That explains Revelation 22:4 to me. That explains it. Because in order to serve him, in order to reign as kings of the earth forever and ever, we need to be like him. And in order to be like him, we need to see him. Can you connect those breadcrumbs? And that process starts here and now and never more than in the church. So, Newville, you've got it going on. I'm getting God photons this morning. And it has transformed and energized the message. And I hope that it's reflecting back to you. So is church important? You bet. We need to be like him. And we need to see him in order to be like him. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you would bless this message with your spirit. Amen.